This morning's scripture text is taken from Matthew chapter 5, 33 to 37. I invite him to come and read this scripture.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ.
Good morning.
Scripture reading is taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 to 37. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made." But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. May God bless those who read and obey his word.
This morning we are very glad to have Pastor. He will continue his preaching, and today's entitled topic, Do Not Swear. Pastor, please.
We give vows and we swear for various reasons. One of them, of course, is if you want to get married, you have to give your vows, swear in front of God and before the congregation. If not, the pastor will not marry you. We also swear or give vows in other circumstances, like for example, when Prime Minister Lawrence Wong took office as Prime Minister, he and quite a number of cabinet ministers also took a Bible. If you look at the picture, you can see some people holding a black book, right, underneath the red brochure. That's the Bible. So our Prime Minister Lawrence Wong and also a few cabinet ministers also swear using a Bible. And if you want to give witness in court, the court also requires you to swear using the Bible or using the Quran or some holy books. So you also swear legitimately in a court of law. But there are also other occasions where people swear. For example, this gentleman, because he is maligned, accused of some things, or he's being challenged on some points, and so he swears. So he says things like, "I swear I didn't do it, I sumpah, cross my tongue." That's the old way of, old-fashioned way of swearing. Or he says, "If I tell a lie, lightning strike me." This kind of swear, you better not elsewhere. It's a terrible and horrible type of view to swear. Or, if this is not profitable, I give you $1,000. And this is also a form of swearing. Or another swearing, if I'm lying, I'm not a man. Or the Chinese goes, then my surname is not this. So these are all forms of swearing. These are all forms of swearing. Some ways of swearing, they are legitimate, they are right. But there are also some ways of swearing where it's illegitimate, it's simply wrong. Why are some forms of swearing wrong? You can trace them to three related reasons. Number one, the mindset. It has to do with the mindset. Another reason is to do with God, theology. And another reason is to do with the Christian testimony. That is to say that when you swear in this or that manner, people look at you and say, "Hey, you're a Christian, how come you're like that?" And we'll explain the reason afterwards. So we want to look separately at these three reasons as why we should not swear. Verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not break your oath, do not break your vows, do not break what you swear just now." Oath, vows, swear, they're the same thing. "Do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made." The Old Testament allows swearing. The Old Testament allows swearing. For example, in Numbers 30, verse 2, it says, "When a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he said." So the Old Testament says that if you want to make a vow, you want to swear, you want to make some promises to God, vows, swearing, then make sure you fulfill it, says Numbers 30, verse 2, the Old Testament. And another passage which the people of Jesus' time said, it was said to the people long ago, and that's why the people practiced it also during Jesus' time. They found it on the Old Testament passage of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill a vow. So you make a vow to God to do this, to do that. If the Lord helps you in this way or that way, then God, I will do this and that for you. Then make sure you fulfill a vow. So as long as you fulfill a vow, it's okay to swear. So says the Old Testament. But let's look at what Jesus says. Now Jesus says in verse 34, but I tell you, do not swear an oath at all. So don't swear at all. So why? Why can't we swear? If we, as we investigate further, Jesus is not saying that we cannot swear. But Jesus is saying that when you swear, make sure you swear properly. But Jesus gives a blanket statement and says, don't swear at all. Don't swear at all. Or why don't swear at all? Because number one, the point number one, it has to do with the wrong mindset. You swear when you do not swear, you should not swear when it is out of a wrong mindset. Many times when people swear, in today's context, many people swear because they are accused of something they did or they didn't do, or they want to convince the other party, hey, please believe me because I will truly, truly do this or that for you. So in order to convince the other party, they swear to convince. You say, what's wrong with swearing to convince? Now, this is the problem. They sometimes swear carelessly. They are too quick to swear. But they never think as to whether, hey, is there a need to swear? Is it so serious a matter that you need to swear? They do not pause and think, hey, do you need to swear or not? Or, are you certain about the facts? Yeah, I tell you, guarantee lah. Chop, double chop lah. Confirm lah. Sure like that one lah. But sure or not? They don't think, they don't stop and think whether are they certain about the facts. Or, if I this and that lah, surely I will do this for you. I don't worry lah. You ask me this, I will fulfill my promise to you. You help me in this, I surely help you back. But are you sure you will keep your promise? Say, yeah, I keep my promise. But we know as grown-ups, we understand this, right? As mature people understand this, right? Sometimes it's not that you are not sincere, no? You swear that you will do this or that, right? But sometimes circumstances prevent you from fulfilling your promises. And then you have to tell your friend, say, hey, I really want to do this, but this thing happened, so no choice. I could not fulfill my promise to you. Well, your friend may accept your apology, your excuse, legitimate or not legitimate, but your friend will accept it seems legitimate. But the point remains, you did not fulfill your promise. The point doesn't change. The fact doesn't change. You did not fulfill your promise. So, are you sure you can keep a promise? Now, the problem is that some people don't pause and think, hey, do I need to swear? Should I swear at all? But oftentimes, the attitude when they are in trouble, when they are hurt by people, when they are being chased after by people to give an answer, to give some certainty, they don't care. To them, it's who cares? I just swear to get this fellow off my back so that this person will not stop pestering me, will stop doubting me, this person will stop accusing me. So the problem with swearing is this. They swear carelessly. Basically, they don't care. They're just interested in, they swear because they want to solve the problem. This fellow is harping on me, is nagging me, is chasing after me. It's so irritating. I just want to get him or her off her back. So I swear to solve my problem, to get this nuisance off my back. And sometimes they are even prepared to lie. Even if they think that I may not be, well, I can keep my promise, but there's a 20% chance that I keep my promise. But don't care lah. Just swear and then get it over with. They're prepared to lie, to be dishonest. Even if they know that there's a possibility that they cannot keep the promise. And that's the problem. That's why Jesus says, don't swear at all. Don't swear at all lah. Rather than for ethical reasons, for the sake of honesty, I'd rather that you don't swear. So, don't swear. So, when you are in trouble, don't be so quick to swear, keep quiet. So, the general principle is you do not swear. Christians don't swear. Why is the second reason why you do not swear? Because when you swear, you will misuse God's name. When you swear, you tend, there's a high probability that you will misuse God's name. What do you mean by that? But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all. We understand this, whenever we want to swear to convince the other person, you must use something, someone, some power to convince the other person, right? God, you know, why would that person want to believe you? Hey, I tell you, this one, sure, right, one. Why must I believe you? It's not that you're Google. Why must I believe you? So you need to depend on something greater, some power greater, in order to convince the other person. So you need to swear by someone, by something. So the best person would be God. Because God is almighty. I swear, sumpah to God, sure. So they swear by God. But because people are afraid of God, whether you are Christian or not Christian, whether you are atheist or agnostic or whatever, but people tend not to use the word God anyhow. They are afraid of using the word God, just in case that God strike me dead. So better not swear. So they tend not to use the name of God. So if they don't use God, but they need to depend on something to swear, right? So they will depend on, they use a replacement. They replace God with something else. Like what? That brings me to verse 34. So instead of swearing by God, they swear by heaven. So Jesus says, what Jesus says, don't swear by heaven also. Do not swear either by heaven, for it is God's throne. So in today's context, how do people swear by heaven? This is one way of swearing by heaven. This is one way of swearing by heaven. See, if I tell a lie, lightning strike me dead. Right? Don't say that. There are some people who are even more toxic. If I tell a lie, lightning strike me dead. Then if this is not a lie, it's the truth, lightning strike you dead. a double-edged sword. No? This fellow real toxic. So because they know that lightning comes from heaven, comes from God. Thunder, lightning comes from God. So they don't swear by, they don't use the name God, but they use something else to replace God, like lightning. Jesus says, do not swear I also by the earth, for it is his footstool. But Jesus says, don't swear by the earth. So what do you mean by swear by the earth? He says, because the earth refers to the good things of the earth. So what are the good things of earth? Money. Very powerful, right? If it doesn't happen, I give you $100. Okay. Give $100. At least I got $100 earned. And so they don't swear by the earth. How do you swear by earth? They swear by the good things of the earth, like money. So some people swear by Jerusalem. But Jesus says, don't swear by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. What do you mean by Jerusalem? Jerusalem, if you read the Bible, is where the temple of God is located. It's the capital of Israel. Well, today, it's a mess there. The world, Israel is at war, and no one can claim Jerusalem for its capital. But Jerusalem was where the capital was located, so it's where God stays. That's why it's called the city of the great king. So how do people swear by Jerusalem today? I don't tell lies one. Because you know why? I attend church. So church is where God is, So I'm a Christian, I won't tell lies one. I'm a Christian, I won't tell lies. I go to church, I won't tell lies one. Do you know I go to church every Sunday? My church is very good. So they swear by the church. The church is the house of God. It's where God stays. And they swear by Jerusalem. But some people swear by the head. But Jesus says, don't swear by the head also. Verse 36, and do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. So how do people swear by the head? You have heard of this, right? If I tell a lie, I chop off my head. Don't worry, let him chop off. He won't chop off one. Or I chop off my finger. Or I tell you, I won't gamble anymore. If I gamble, I chop off my two fingers. Things like that. But Jesus says, don't swear by your head. Why? Because you cannot even make one hair white or black. What do you mean by you cannot make one hair white or black? Some time ago, I visited, our sister Miao Tian has passed away. Has gone home to be with the Lord, Sister Wendy's mother. So when I visited her, sometimes, then she would say, my hair, that I told her, say, your hair got black hair. Say, I don't know why, my hair, white, was white, actually white. Then this, Black hair keeps coming out, no? I said, wow, you're really blessed. Ah. He said, hiya. No, I said, you're young and pretty. I said, hiya, man. Why? Because when the hair turns from white to black, it's amazing. Why? Because it's not possible. He couldn't have done it. She didn't dye it. This thing comes by the hand of God. Only God can make the hair white or black. Now, this is the meaning. When he says, when Jesus says you cannot even make one hair of black, Jesus is saying that because only God has power over your hair. Hair comes from God. So when you swear by one finger, by your head, by your hair, don't. Why? Because these things are given by God. They come from God. You do not have the ability to decide on where you are born, what the color of your eyes, how old you live to, your life, whether your head is big or small, balanced or not balanced. You cannot decide. They're all decided by God. So he said, don't swear by your head, because the head belongs to God. The finger belongs to God. Don't swear by anything. So my point is this. So when Jesus says, do not swear by God, or do not swear by anything, just you take something to replace God. Do not swear by anything for that matter. Why? See, because each time when you swear by something, you will inevitably, because all things belong to God, you will bring God into the picture. God will be involved in your swearing. Now that swearing will implicate God. And if you swear either without the seriousness that you will fulfill your promise, or you swear, but you know there's a possibility that this thing might not come true. COVID happens and then the business slows down. Who knows? Who expected COVID to come? And then you thought COVID is over, and then the madman from North Korea or the madman from Russia wants to wage a war. And things, many, there were, what was that? And then the third event, and then the cruel Hamas invaded Israel. Well, you see, Israel is just a screw-up. We can debate about that. But then, and then the economy takes a hit south. Drops. So who expects it? No, I say, so what I'm trying to say is that when you swear, you will implicate God. Either because you cannot keep a promise, or you do not have the intention, the seriousness to keep a promise. And when you, so in other words, when you implicate God, you implicate God in a lie, because you cannot keep a promise to God, to other people. Sometimes through your own fault, because you're not serious. Sometimes through the fault of the environment, how things, of events, historical events. So that's why Jesus said, don't swear. Don't swear, because you swear, you will insult God's name inadvertently. And when you insult God's name, according to the third commandment of the Bible, it says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. This is the third of the Ten Commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. The Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. So you implicate God in a lie, because you cannot keep it for one reason or another. You actually insult God, you misuse God. And the third commandment says, if you misuse God's name, God will chase after your sin. God will not hold you. You cannot be blamed. Okay, you're weak, no choice. But God does not look at us this way. God will not hold us guiltless. And that's the reason why we don't swear. So I urge you, if you are in the habit of swearing, be very quick to give promises, very quick to say this or that. I urge you, hold back. Don't be so quick with your mouth to say, I will definitely do this, or you don't. And then you don't keep a promise. All you need to say is simply yes or no. So a simpler yes or no will do. Can you do it? Yes. Are you able to do it? No. Simply. If you cannot do it, say no. If you can do it, say yes. That's good enough. All you need is simply yes or no. In other words, say what you mean. Mean what you say. When you, in your heart, you think like that, say it out. And then when you say, make sure you keep the promise you said, you make in your heart also, that you say with your mouth. Keep your promise. So say what you mean what you say. That's the meaning of, it's a simple yes or no will do. Anything beyond, so now that the main point is be truthful. Be honest. Be truthful, be honest, be serious about your words. Don't give empty promises. Some of the things that we should not do is, I'll call back, I'll call you back, and then we don't know. Or I will do this for you, and then you don't know. I will handle it properly, but then things are not properly done. Don't. So when you are in the habit of saying, hey, because you're busy, right, I'll call you back. Remember you call back. See, hopefully I do. So sometimes I think I might forget. I said, hopefully I don't forget, but I'll try to call you back. So you put a disclaimer there so that you become become a person who doesn't keep promise. My point is this: be truthful. That's the whole point of this message. Be truthful, be honest, be serious about what you say, about what you promise, what you vow. What do you mean by truthful? What do you mean by all you need today is to say is a simple yes or no? What do you mean by mean what you say, say what you mean? There was a young man, well, he's not young anymore, that was me several decades ago. So this young man, before he became a Christian, okay, he's very forgetful, and I trace that forgetfulness to irresponsible. Sometimes people are forgetting, I forget this, I forget that. It's simply you're irresponsible sometimes. It's not a good excuse, no? Hey, I forget. Once or twice, okay, but it becomes habitual. Sometimes it tells you that you're not a responsible person. Okay, so this young man is not a very responsible person. So when he says, but I know that when he says this, he means it. He means it. So he says, can you bring this for me? I'll bring it for you. Then he said, I forget. So one day, again, he forgot. No? His friend said, can you bring this for me from your home? And then he forgot. See, hey. But this time around, when he met his friends, right, he didn't say he forgot. He kept quiet because he has just become a Christian. So because he has just become a Christian, right, he told himself that I must keep my promise. So you see how different this is, Last time, very quick to say, I just give excuses. But now that he has become a Christian, he said, hey, I must keep my promise. So he didn't say that I have forgotten. So he told his friend, you wait here for a little while. You know what he did? So he took a bus, I think about 30 or 25 minutes, right? Then walked the road to the village, that's about 10 minutes. He ran, no? You know, to save time, he ran, no? I think it's quite good right now. He ran, no? Took the thing, ran back to the bus stop, take a 25, 30 minutes bus. Well, he kept his friend waiting, And then he said, hey, now this is it. So his friends realized that he actually went back home. But this is what I meant by a simple yes or no. This is what I meant by being truthful, by being honest. You must be a promise keeper. And that's the whole point of the message. Okay, so that's what I meant by, a simple yes or no will do. In fact, Jesus says that anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Anything beyond this means you try to swear in order to convince the other person. Hey, I sure, chop, double chop, sure can. Even this chop, double chop, it smacks of swearing also. This chop, double chop. No need to say chop, double chop. Say, yes, I'll do it for you. But again, things are like that. If you are a person who always keeps promises, when you say yes, right, people will believe you. But if you are a person who sometimes keeps, doesn't keep, even if you say chop, double chop, people will say, okay, chop, double chop, I'll see. I think chop, three chops also will not do it. So after a little while, you know what we do for such people? When I know that this person, when I went for in the company, when we know this person will keep promise, so each time we say, sure, the colleagues will say that, hey, better prepare for the worst. Sure enough, this person didn't keep his word. It means that, but we are prepared. So once bitten, twice shy. The second time, right, they're prepared for this fellow already. See, we know that he will not keep his word. So when you don't keep your word, right, so if you're in the habit of, you've developed a trait that people see in you, that you're a person who is irresponsible, doesn't keep your word. I tell you, you say whatever you say, also no use. So you, anything beyond this, you swear to convince. You swear to convince, Jesus says, comes from the evil one. Yes or no is good enough. You will say some more, it comes from the evil one. Means you're in cahoots with the devil. You're in cahoots with the devil. Means the devil's accomplice. That's the meaning of comes from the evil one. Means the evil one is instigating you to tell a lie. It comes from the devil. So therefore, we don't swear. Therefore, we do not swear. Why is it so important not to swear? Third reason, because we have a Christian testimony to bear. Because it will spoil our Christian testimony. In essence, if you are in the habit of swearing and you don't keep your word, people look at you, people will say what? Hey, Christians like that one, always don't keep promises. Yes, 10 times, 8 times don't keep promises. Hey, why Christians like that? Now, they won't want to, what do you think they'll think about Christianity? Say, your character got problem. Got a character deficiency. This is a character defect, you know that? A person who doesn't keep promise has a character defect. Deficient character. That's how we label it in the company. A person whose character is deficient. So we put a black mark there as a boss, as a superior. I take note also. This clock of works, last time I was an engineer, this clock of works, cannot trust it. In my mind, I put a black mark there. Why is it that we cannot swear? Because it will spoil our Christian testimony. What do you mean by that? Now, if you remember, we have talked about, in the past few messages, we talked about several issues, right? We talked about anger, where Jesus equated anger with murder. And so we talked about, in the next topic, we also talked about adultery, where Jesus says that even when you look at a woman and you think of dirty things, that's committing adultery, although you may not have touched her or him physically. Also, we talked about divorce, where Jesus laid down a very stringent that unless it is for adultery, any divorce will result in, unless it's for adultery that you divorce, any other forms of divorce for other reasons will result in committing sinning against God. And I did give details about that, some exceptions. Then we talk about, anger, we talk about divorce, about adultery, we talk about divorce. And today we talk about do not swear, right? So we talk about quite a number of issues, right? But all these issues can be traced, there's an opening statement. There's an introduction, you remember? So in the and this is an introduction. So before Jesus went and looked at these introductions, look at these several topics, he gave an introduction in verse 13. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. And he goes on in verse 14, you're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on the stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And what are these good deeds? It says here, right? Let your light shine. How? How do you let your light shine? Shine in such a way that they can see your good deeds. What are the good deeds? What are these good deeds? Helping people in trouble? Because when we talk about good deeds, we always think about, oh, there's a beggar, give him money, right? But what are these good deeds? So that your Father in heaven will be glorified. That people say, hey, God is amongst you all. Oh, your God is really a good God. And then say, hey, I want to believe in Jesus too. Right? So, this introduction, so what are the good deeds? The good deeds are actually being delineated, being specified, being explained in what we said just now. Like, for example, the way you manage your anger. Like, for example, the way you manage adultery. The way you manage divorce. The way you manage using your mouth to swear to convince other people. And dear brothers and sisters in law, if you are going to be a Christian who can attract your family members to Christ, if you are going to be a Christian who can become a good example to your children, if you are going to become a Christian who can be a blessing to people around you, Jesus gives us very specific instructions. You must know how to manage your anger. You must know how to manage the topic on adultery. You must know how to manage your marriage with regards to divorce. You must know how to manage with promises, giving promises, swearing. And these are the ways that Christians bear good testimony. These are called the good deeds. So the good deeds really are very specific. And this is the reason why you cannot swear. Because if you swear and you are not a promise keeper, because I tell you, you swear 10 times, there'll be a number of times that you cannot keep a promise. And then when you cannot keep a promise, people look at you and say that you are not Christian's conduct, how come Christian's character is like that? Not honest. So, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, let's not swear. If it's yes, say yes. No, say no. So how do people know the true and living God? It's by your lifestyle. How you manage people you dislike, anger, marriage, adultery, love for your spouse with regards to divorce, your truthfulness in promising people. And that's how people know Christ. I want to speak to our friends who are not Christians. Why is Jesus so particular about swearing? Is Jesus just giving a command? What does this tell you about Jesus? Jesus is so particular, right? So don't swear. Yes, say yes, no means no. Be honest. You know why Jesus is so particular about you really swear and how you swear? You know why? Because Jesus is the truth. Because the very nature of Jesus is holiness, truth. And that's the reason why what Jesus tells us, we can trust him. Because his nature is truth. That's why he can tell you like things like don't swear. He can teach you things like about how to look at adultery, how to look at things like divorce. Because Jesus is holiness, he is truth. So Jesus answered, I am the way to heaven. And is this way reliable? Jesus says, yes, this way is reliable because I am the truth. And what will this truth give you if you know the truth? What will give you? What good is there? What benefits do you receive if you know the truth? It says you will receive life. So Jesus says, I'm the way and the truth and the life. And in fact, Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. I'm the only way to heaven. Maybe at this point, I said this before, let me say it again. When Jesus says, I'm the only way to heaven, some people get very angry. Say, well, your Christians are real arrogant. You mean you're the only way to heaven? Other gods cannot. Other gods wrong. Only you right. Very arrogant. But you don't be angry with Jesus, you know why? It's just like, for example, if a student tells you 1 + 1 = 2, and then all other answers are wrong. Can you accept that? 1 + 1 = 2, all other answers are wrong. Can you accept that? Of course you accept that, right? What's 1 + 1 = 2? 3 wrong, 4 wrong, 5 also wrong, right? There's only one right answer. So is this student being arrogant, being proud? Of course not, he's just telling the truth. You don't be angry with him. He's just telling the truth. So when Jesus says, I'm the only way to heaven, you don't get angry at Jesus. You know why? Because he's just telling the truth. He's not being arrogant. In fact, Jesus cannot be arrogant. Jesus is most gentle. Jesus is most kind. Jesus is most good. How do you know that? He didn't say, hey, I'm very gentle, I'm very kind, I'm very good. He didn't just use his mouth. He proved it. When Jesus died on the cross, he came down from the glory of heaven, died on the cross. The cross is not only painful, it's shameful. So when Jesus died on the cross, why did Jesus die on the cross? Because he loves you, because he wants to save you. He knows that Jesus doesn't die on the cross for your sins, to take the punishment due to your sins, you will go to hell. If he doesn't die, you die. So how? So if I were Jesus, say, then you die. I'm not going to die for you, right? Either you die or I die, you die lah. But you know what Jesus said? You die or I die, I die. That's what Jesus did. How can Jesus be arrogant? Cannot be. So when Jesus says, I'm the only way to heaven, I'm the only truth, I'm the only person who can give life, he's just telling the fact. And he proved it. He proved the truth when he died on the cross and rose from the dead. There are friends who are not Christians. Today, if you are not a Christian, I urge you, come and believe in Jesus today. Believing in Jesus is not about coming to church. Believing in Jesus is not putting on the cross. Believing in Jesus is not about, because my parents are Christians, therefore I'm also a Christian. It's not. That's not the meaning of believing in Jesus. Believing in Jesus means you have a personal relationship with God. You must personally accept Jesus as your Savior. And the Bible tells us that because we have sinned against God, our relationship with God is broken. Some people are very good, no? They always blame, your fault, your fault, your fault. Nothing wrong with me. I'm very poor thing. But sometimes I want to tell this person, can you just look at yourself and admit your fault first? Now, this is called repentance. Now, dear brothers and sisters, dear friends, we have sinned against God. That's why we are in trouble. It has nothing to do with your friends, your mother, your father, your enemies, nothing to do with them. It has to do with yourself. You are the problem. Don't push the problem to other people. But today, Jesus only wants us to do this. If today we humble ourselves before God, say, God, I've sinned against you. I'm in all kinds of trouble. And Jesus wants you to turn away from your sin. Now today, if you are willing to repent, turn away from your sin, and humbly ask, Jesus, I'm a broken life. Save me. I'm broken. I've nothing. Save me. I want you to be my Savior. Let Jesus walk life with you. Now, are you willing to do that? Come and believe in Jesus today. Let Jesus walk life with you. And he'll walk you to heaven. And this life is a very difficult life. It's a very challenging life. Let Jesus walk with you. And life will be full of energy. Life is vibrant. Life is good. Life is bright. He gives you eternal life. He forgives you your sins. He gives you heaven. There's nothing more precious than eternal life. If you have everything but you don't have eternal life, you are going to die, and you're going to die in hell. It's meaningless. So what? You are rich. So what? So what? You got everything. So what? If you are looking, so what? At death, everyone becomes old. And at death, everything turns to nothing. So nothing is more precious than eternal life. I urge you, come accept Jesus today, receive eternal life, and life will be very good. It's a new chapter of your life. A quick recap of what we've learned. There are occasions where we need to swear indeed, like standing in the witness for court, getting married, or some other necessary occasions. And sometimes under certain circumstances where you need to swear to convince the other person. But those are very exceptionals. But if not, don't swear. Why don't swear? Because one, people swear with a wrong mindset. Many swear simply to persuade a person of his viewpoint, just to get the person off his back, that's all. Stop harping on me, okay, sure, definite, bao nya wan, lottery show strike one. Just to get the person off the back. They swear with a wrong mindset, without thought as to whether what they say is the truth or not. So don't swear. Number two, why we don't swear? Because you tend to misuse God's name. We want to back up our swears, our vows by something, and everything belongs to God. You will implicate God in your dirt. Don't swear. And why we don't swear? Because we have a Christian testimony to bear. We do not swear because if we swear and we don't keep our word, and there's a probability that we don't keep our word, then we destroy our Christian testimony. We live on earth to bring people to Christ. We are the salt and the light of the earth. Do you know that your life must attract people to Christ? The light and salt of the earth. Now today I want to ask you, is your life attractive? When people look at your life, will people say, hey, I also want to be a Christian. Will people say that of you? Or people say, hey, I want to be a Christian. You look, be a Christian. I don't want to be a Christian, become like you. I don't want. Will people say that of you? I hope that you'll be such a person, be the light and salt of the earth. But to be the light and the salt of the earth, you must learn to speak truthfully. And then people will be convinced about what you say. You'll be attractive. May you be the light and salt of the world. Let's pray. Our Lord, thank you for giving us your word, that because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, because Jesus speaks the truth, we know that when we accept Jesus, as Jesus promises, we will receive eternal life. We pray for our friends here who have not come to know Jesus. Help them accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, so that they can not only experience eternal life, they can experience a full and a meaningful life. Father in heaven, we pray also for ourselves. Lord, sometimes we are so quick to want to convince other people, but help us to be careful with our lips. Help us learn to say what we mean and to mean what we say, so that we can be a good testimony for you. In Jesus' name we pray.